All right, you can be opening your Bibles up to Revelation chapter 3. That's where we're going to be here in just a moment. Revelation chapter 3. As I mentioned, we are starting a new sermon series today, and we're calling it All In. And what we're going to try to emphasize as we work through this sermon series is that when we become Christians, when we demonstrate that we desire to be followers of Jesus, when we come to Christ, the waters of baptism, we are giving our lives entirely to God, entirely to Jesus Christ. We don't leave certain parts behind. We don't say, well, my work part, that is up to me, and I'm going to dictate how that goes, but Jesus can have every other aspect of my life. No, when we become Christians, we give it all over to Him. We are all in. Before we get to Revelation chapter 3, I actually want to start in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. We're not going to read that passage, but I want to recap what takes place there. For many of you, you probably know this story well. So a young man comes up to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? We remember how Jesus replies to this man. He says, follow these laws. To which the young man says, I've followed them all. And so Jesus says, okay, there's one thing that you lack. Go sell everything that you have and give to the poor. And then it's like there's a pause. And Mark writes, the young man walked away sad because he had much wealth. I wonder about myself in that situation, and I'd like you to think about how you would handle that situation. You approach Jesus, you encounter Jesus, and he says, go sell all that you have and give to the poor. How would you have responded in that situation? Would you have been like that young man who walked away sad? Because you had much wealth. Because I had much wealth. I might have responded to him, then I'll become a burden on others. That just doesn't seem very responsible to give all that I have away. That's not fiscally responsible, Jesus. You're crazy, Jesus. What we're told about that young man is that he went away sad because he had much wealth. The truth of the matter is that I believe what Jesus was wanting this young man to get to was, are you going to be all in or not? And we see with this young man that he was not all in. He wanted to hold on to the wealth that he had. In Revelation chapter 3, we're going to read about a church that wasn't all in. It's the church at Laodicea. We know that the first few chapters of Revelation contain these seven letters to the churches of Asia. They're letters of affirmation. They're letters of rebuke. They're letters of exhortation to God's people in these different places. But the letter to the church in Laodicea is one that, it kind of makes us maybe shudder a little bit. It certainly moves us to reflect on our own lives. And we're going to work through this passage together this morning. So Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 14. It says this, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. So this letter, this message starts by saying who it's from. It's from Jesus Christ. He's the fullness of God's message. He is the Amen. He is the true and faithful witness. He is the embodiment of God's truth. And he is the ruler of God's creation. He is the kingdom, or he is the king of all creation. We are citizens under his reign. Continuing on now, verse 15 and 16 says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. So the true and faithful witness, Jesus Christ, the one who is speaking, and when Jesus speaks, you better listen. This is his message for the church in Laodicea. You are neither cold nor hot, and because you're lukewarm, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. A note about Laodicea, and this is important. They would have known a thing or two about water conditions, water temperatures, whether it was hot water or cold water. They were surrounded by two different cities. One was called Hierapolis, and the other, that's Hierapolis to the north. Hierapolis was a place that, let me make sure I get this right, had hot water springs. Colossae to the south was a place, there was a mountainous area, and there was cold water that came from Colossae. So, Laodicea had access to hot water from Hierapolis and cold water from Colossae. Now, both hot water and cold water were very important to them. They had access to both kinds of water. They were strategically placed. It was a good place for them to be. Hot water was useful to them for cleaning, things like that. Cold water, drinking water, other purposes. Both hot water and cold water were useful for them. But lukewarm water was not useful for them. Lukewarm water didn't have the same sort of principles that would have been important to their daily life, like cold water or hot water. And so Jesus compares them to lukewarm water. He says, you're not useful. Your deeds are not useful anymore. And because of that, I desire to spit you out of my mouth. Now, if Jesus uses language like that, we better pay attention to what he's saying. I'm going to vomit you. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth because of your actions. Now, of course, we're going to ask the question, okay, what was it about their actions that Jesus so vehemently had a problem with? What was it about their action? Let's continue reading to see a little bit more about what Jesus says to them. He says, you say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. This is Jesus speaking to his people, people that had committed their lives to him. He says, you say, I am rich. I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing. Essentially, we are taking care of ourselves. We have found our security in our wealth, security in what we have gained through our actions, our means. What Jesus is calling these people to is a reality check. He says, okay, you think that you are rich, but listen to how you really are. You are poor. You are wretched. You are pitiful. You are naked. That's how you really are. Okay, as we've said, these are God's people. They're people that have committed their lives to Jesus Christ. But the truth is that they began, it appears anyways, that they began looking at the society and culture around them, and based on what they were seeing around them, everything was A-okay. So we were amassing wealth. That's great. That's what everyone around us was doing. We were finding our identity and our security in our own actions, our own means. That's okay. That's what our coworkers are doing. That's what the people living in our neighborhoods and towns are doing. And here's the truth of the matter for us today. If we look at the surrounding area, the surrounding culture, our society for determining what is right and what is wrong, we might look okay. We might even feel good about ourselves because of the decisions that we make, because of our morals, because of our desire to do what is right and wrong. We might feel okay if we look at society, if that's going to be the mirror in which we are going to gauge how we're doing in life. But what Jesus is calling these people to is not to find out who you truly are based on society, but to look at God. God is your reality check. God's word, the truth of the gospel, is where you go to find your security, your identity, to determine how you are. So based on culture and society, Laodicea, or the church in Laodicea, may have been doing fine, but based on God's word, the truth of who God is, they were not doing well. Not doing well. In reality, they were poor. They were wretched. They were blind. They were naked. That point about being naked is important. They were exposed before God. They were wide open. God saw them as they truly were as people. Continuing on, verse 18. Jesus offers them hope in the form of counsel. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. So Jesus says, okay, you want to know what's real? Do you want to shop in a real store? Do you want to find out truth? Do you want to find true security mission? Do you want your identity to be wrapped up in what's true? Then buy from me. Laodicea was known for their medical practices. They actually produced eye salve at one of the colleges, one of the universities, the medical schools, I guess would be the term for it, medical schools in Laodicea. So they would have known something about eye salve. They also were known for their sheep industry. So they would have been producing clothes there. But Jesus says, buy what's real. Purchase gold from me. Purchase eye salve from me. Purchase clothes from me. In other words, find your life, your hope, and your security in me alone. An interesting thing, too, you think about the eye salve. Jesus, I think what Jesus is getting across there is take that eye salve and put it on your eyes, because you are not truly seeing right now. What you need to do is put the eye salve that I can offer you onto your eyes so that your eyes can be well, and so you can truly see who you are. You can truly see where you need to be as people. It's time that you wake up. Jesus is providing these people a way forward, a way of hope, a way of salvation. Are they naked, poor, wretched, pitiful? Yes, they're all of those things, but Jesus says, there is hope for you, and it is found in me. Continuing on, verses 19 and 20. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. So Jesus starts off and he says, for those I love, I rebuke and discipline. Okay, for those of you here that are parents, you get what Jesus is saying here, right? This love, this rebuke and discipline is rooted in love. This is hope here. Jesus says, you have strayed from the path, but I'm not going to leave you there. I'm going to call you out because of your actions. Get back on the right path. He says, be earnest and repent. Change your ways. Come back to me and be earnest. Be committed to my ways. Be committed to my life. Be committed to my way of approaching all things in life. And he says this in verse 20. And this is kind of scary. It's a message of hope, and it's a message to take heed of. It's just a scary situation. He says, I stand at the door and knock. Two realities there in that passage, in that section there. The one reality is so hopeful. Jesus is there knocking at the door. That's good. That's good news that Jesus is near. Jesus wants to come in. The scary thing about that, the bad news in that, is Jesus is on the outside at that point. Once again, people that were committed to Jesus Christ, that had a church, that were coming to worship, all of those kind of things, and yet Jesus was on the outside knocking on the door. A question that we continually need to be asking ourselves as a church, is Jesus on the inside or is Jesus on the outside knocking at the door? Is Jesus in the inside or is Jesus on the outside knocking on the door? He says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Jesus desires to be with his people, communing with them and the inside, present with them. And then verses 21 and 22, there's more hope. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So earlier on, Jesus says, I'm about ready to spit you out of my mouth because you are lukewarm. But then he goes on at the end. He says, for those who hear this message, for those who are earnest toward me, know this. You can be an overcomer with me. A beautiful picture of hope and victory for God's people. And so we end with this, and it's so important that we get this. Jesus was all in for us. Right? We spent time in communion not long ago remembering the death of Jesus on the cross. And we wonder, God, do you love us? Am I yours? Are we your people? And I believe he says, look at the cross. Do I love you? Look at the cross. God, are we your people? Am I your child? Am I forgiven? And I think he says, look at the cross. Jesus, our Savior, took on the beatings. He was beaten for us. He was mocked for us. He died on a cross for God's people. Jesus was all in for us. And the question that I want to leave you with today, and leave as a community, I want to leave us with, is, are we all in for him? Just last night, I was looking over my notes and just kind of processing things. And Sarah came in the room and she said, I'm going to put Adeline down for bed. You want to come in? And I said, yes, of course. And so I went in there and we were kind of doing our thing, our kind of nightly routine and everything. And these words had been on my heart, right? All of this message to the church at Laodicea. And I'm thinking about being all in, and Jesus is all in for us. And we're there by the crib there, putting Adeline down, and we're praying and singing and all of those things that we do every night. I was just looking at her, and I was thinking to myself, again, with these words in my mind, I was just thinking, what is the message that I want to pass down to her, my daughter? What has God entrusted me to, what message has God entrusted me to share with her? And so often, I think what happens is that I'm not all in for her. It's the other stuff that kind of entices me. It's the money. It's the success. It's the popularity. It's all of these kind of things, those messages that we hear from the world all the time. And there in that moment, I'm sitting there with my daughter, and it's just, I just was thinking, what I want her to see is a mom and a dad that are all in for Jesus Christ, just totally given to him and his purposes. And what I want for her is to be a part of a church that is completely given to Jesus Christ, all in. That's what we owe our children. That's what we owe the world. That's what we owe to God, because he is all in for us, definitively in for us. Are we all in for him? The end of our lives. I think that as we reflect on our life, we're not going to be asking questions like, man, did I make enough money? Was I cool enough? Was I popular enough? Did I drive a nice enough car? I think the kind of questions that we're going to be reflecting on at the end of our lives is, were we all in for God? Why not start today to be all in for him? If there's anybody here this morning that has not yet put Jesus on in baptism, I'm telling you, today would be a great day to do that. We would love to assist you in that. We would love to witness you make that proclamation of faith in this place today. If there's anybody here that needs the prayers of this assembly, we want you to know we would be honored, privileged to pray with you. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and sing.